Blog Talk Radio.
Here, everybody, on June 5th, 2019. You know, when you get older, you just keep noticing that the years just keep on going by. I know it's corny, but it's true. Anyway, look, I see a lot of articles. I tell you that every week. But I see a lot of articles these days claiming that science has revealed the key to happiness. Anyway, here it is. Here's the key. You have to be a Pollyanna, okay? That's someone who sees the silver lining in everything, even the bad things. And they say that the way you cultivate this attitude is to write a list of three things that you noticed every day that you like. Often they call them gratitude lists. It's been on Oprah and everywhere. I'm sure you've seen it, okay? Anyway, these three things that you write down, they can be very common, ordinary little things, like if you enjoyed your coffee in the morning, you write that down. If you like the color of the sky, the blue sky on your way to work, you write that down. If the receptionist gives you a nice smile when you come into the office, right? You write it down. Someone opened the door for you. You were carrying parcels. You write that down, right? Then you get into your office and you see an email from one of your hiring managers, one of those geniuses, and he gave you a search for a kind of person who is very much in demand. The market is really tight, but you happen to find someone who originally came from your city, and he and his wife want to move back there so they can be close to their parents who are getting a bit older, right? So this is a really lucky fluke. This candidate came in for interviews the day before, right? And your bozo manager sends you a message that says, you know, we really liked them. Everybody really liked them, but I'd like to see some more people before we make a decision. Right now, I got a question for you. Do you think the fact that you had a good coffee or that the receptionist smiled at you is going to cushion you from that kind of nonsense? Keep you from feeling bad day in and day out? Right? I don't think so. Okay, and if it's not the hiring manager, it's the candidate. If it's not, you know, the candidates, the stupid HR team that doesn't even have a desk ready for the new hire when he finally shows up for work, right? Anyway, if you disagree with me, I'd love to hear it on Jerry Atchowitz.
The Recruiting Animal.
I'd like to thank my sponsors, PC Recruiter, the Swiss Army knife of recruiting software, HireTool, HireTual, the super duper sourcing tool, and HoneIt, HoneIt, the phone interview technology. I want to say a big hello to, someone's making noise. It's their lousy phone. Okay, I want to say a big hello out to a guy named Christopher Rivas, okay, way out there in Tokyo. He sent me a note yesterday that says he likes the show. So thank you. Also to Cass Murray. She said she likes the show. You know why I want to appreciate them is because last week I got a lot of messages that people don't like the show. They think it's shit, they said, okay? And they think I'm an asshole, okay? So I got to tell you something. Having somebody say they like what you do is better than, you know, writing down that you had a good coffee or that you like the blue sky. I just wanted to add that. And now on to my good friend, regular guest, Amy Alla. Amy, are you there?
It's Amy Miller, but yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay, Amy Miller. Sorry, I meant Alla Recruiter. Alla Recruiter.
Yeah,
you left it. You can't just blame me. Your
no,
Twitter address
never.
is A ALA recruiter. Sorry, it's not ALA recruiter anymore. It's just ALA. It stands for something nobody knows, right? Okay.
We'll make something up. It's all good.
Some idiot is you know, got a real lousy phone. I'm going to have to go through every call.
You know.
Let me just go through some of these.
Okay.
Nope. 909, that's okay. 909 is okay. Let's try 832, see if it's them. Yeah, 832,
ooh,
bad guy.
Dang.
What area code is that? Okay, Amy is an in-house recruiter working with engineering managers for the design of a very famous online platform. Okay, is that enough?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, I want to say something. Amy introduced me to the idea of the recruiter who wears yoga pants. In fact, her blog is called Recruiting in Yoga Pants, right?
Yes,
isn't it?
It is.
Okay,
yes.
And I got to tell you, this topic has gotten me into more trouble than anything else. I've been called a pervert, a sexist a million times. I mean, I am in hot water for that, okay? So thank you, Amy.
You're welcome. I do what I can.
What about a business meeting? Would you wear yoga pants to an actual business meeting as opposed to sitting in your office?
Absolutely. I wear yoga pants to my interview. At said
large
online platform.
Yeah?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Oh, you did to your interview when you went for this job.
When I went for this job, they're black. You can't tell. They just look like leggings, but I wore kind of a long tunic top, if you will. And it was August, so it was hot out. And, you know, of course I did. They don't care. And again, look, I'm not saying you should go to like a White House dinner in yoga pants. Like you have to obviously know your audience and pick and choose your battles. But this employer, this place, this job.
Okay, moving on. Enough about yoga pants. Okay, look, I've got a section now for general success tips. If people don't like it, I don't mind feedback. It's just everybody's posting, you know, these articles about it. Why shouldn't I ask? Okay.
It's a valid question.
Okay. Do you think this is something else now? Do you think it's important to get up early as a key to success?
I hope not, because I don't roll out of bed much before 9, except when I have to come hang out with you. So this is the earliest I've been up in a while. Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay. Well, there you go, everybody. What about getting enough sleep? That's a new fad. Getting 8 hours.
Oh,
you get 8 hours.
I usually do. I'm usually between 7 and 8. I try. Sleep is important. I love sleep. I am not staying up late for nobody. I'm not getting up early for anybody but you.
Okay,
so, bring
thank
it
you,
on.
Dear. Okay. Do you meditate? That's everybody who's successful meditates now.
No,
what?
I guess I'm not successful because I don't meditate. I wear inappropriate clothing. I must be doing
something
really wrong.
What about working out? Do you work out?
I run a couple days a week, but
very fast. Oh, just a couple of days, but you enter some kind of races, right?
I did. I run a few half marathons, bunch of 10Ks and 5Ks. I'm slow. Like I was literally the last person at the last half marathon.
Hold on. You could run a half marathon with only 2 days of practice a week?
3 days. Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Okay, I'm moving on.
Okay,
final question. Sorry, everybody, if you don't think this is relevant, I'm sorry. But Amy, I posted a very nice picture. She takes a good picture, okay? And somebody gave you a compliment about your hair in that picture when you're eating the Caesar salad. Which shampoo and hair conditioner do you use? I want a tip.
Tresemme. He is Tresemme.
What is it?
It's called Tresemme. It comes in a black bottle. Get it at Walmart.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Walmart. Oh, it's
girl.
Like, it's the good stuff, eh? Okay.
I guess.
Okay. Okay. Now we're getting into the serious stuff. Do you use social media to brand yourself in your target industry so that everybody knows? Hey, there's Amy. Okay.
Right? Like, I don't do it intentionally. I'm obviously on social media. I'm on Facebook and Twitter all the time. I have a blog, but it's not, I don't do it with the intention of, I'm going to go get the attention of a bunch of software engineers. I just like to talk. And so I kind of throw myself out there, and sometimes I make friends and engage with recruiters or whatever. It's not intentional. I think as a result, there's a byproduct that people know me and want to talk to me. But
No. I don't mean other recruiters.
That.
I mean the kind of
Amy. Yeah, no.
I don't mean recruiters. I mean the software engineers that you want to recruit. Do you post on LinkedIn all kinds of information that they might find useful?
I am hardly ever on LinkedIn, but I have a bunch of engineering leaders who have found me through my blog, believe it or not. And because I write about, you know, shitty LinkedIn emails and terrible recruiting practices. I write about stuff like that. So I actually about once a week on average, I will hear from a potential candidate that says, oh, my gosh, you said this thing and it's so funny. And I had that happen to me 17 times this week. So
but how do they find your blog? How do they find your blog?
Oh, I have no
how
idea.
Do they find your blog?
I don't know. I don't know, Twitter, somebody forwarded them an article.
It hasn't been there. Hasn't been there for too long.
No, I know. This is like a new phenomenon. This is like in the last several months that I've started getting these kinds of messages.
I might want to suggest that you've got some kind of inside help there, but I won't, okay? Anyway.
maybe.
Okay. Here's a trend that, you know, we've spoken many times. I never heard anything about this, really. Before this year, candidate ghosting. I hear about it every week now. People are getting ghosted, you know, candidates who disappear, won't return calls all of a sudden. Have you found it to be an issue for yourself, something new?
Oh, yeah. It's not new. It's. I think it's just more apparent now because we have so many lines of communication, but it's nothing new. This has happened to me in all 20 years I've been doing this, people disappear. So I think it's just because we feel more connected because we have six different ways to contact someone, but it's the same old problem that we've always had since the dawn of time.
It's not a case where the candidates are getting more job offers and accepting them and then just not replying to the other ones they've been pursuing. It's not a case of that, which is
that might be the logic behind it, and maybe we're seeing a spike just because the way, you know, how tight the market is right now, but this is not a new problem. Anyone who thinks this is a new problem, maybe they're new to recruiting because has this not happened to everyone for years?
I think it's a new problem. I think it's a new problem. I never encountered it, really.
You've never had that, really?
When was the last time you did a search animal?
You know what? You should take that question and just replay it every show, okay?
I know.
Alan Fleur. Here's a smarty pants. Do you have a question for Amy?
Not yet. I got on a few minutes late. I apologize.
Oh, well, okay. Let me open up. Okay, 8:32. I'm not going to open you. I'll open a few more people, though. Anybody got a question for Amy at this point?
Ask me anything. Nothing is off limits.
Okay. Do you coach against counteroffers?
Yes, of course. Absolutely.
Really? Okay, yeah. First question. Does it work?
Sometimes. Most of the time, I think. Look, here's the thing. It's not my influence, right, that's going to make a difference. The person's going to do what's in their best interest. Hopefully, I can give them information that helps them decide what's in their best interest, but it's ultimately not going to be my decision. There's no magic wand. There's no special spell that I can speak into the universe that's going to make someone change their mind. I just have to provide them with enough information that shows them that it's in their best interest to take my job.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. We had a guy on a few weeks ago. I like him, and I think he's successful. His name is Amir Borman. And he says he'll analyze, you know, somebody's offers, and if he thinks the other offer is better, he'll tell them. Will you do that?
Sure. 100%. Absolutely. I did this at actually, yes. Because, look, my role may not be the best role. Hopefully we figure that out before we get to offer stage. But if it comes down to – and I have actually said, listen, I'm not going to give you as much money as you're getting here. If money is what's most important or the difference in the comp is like, life-changing, then you need to go take the other offer.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Alan's endorsing that. You would do that too, Alan? Take the other offer?
I do it all the time. Absolutely. You do it all the time. Because look,
and if Animal's my candidate, Animal needs to look out for Animal Incorporated. Now, in the short run, could I potentially talk you into taking our job? Yeah, maybe I could.
Sure.
But all I am is a matchmaker. And if I'm doing my job well as a matchmaker, then what I'm going to do is, Amy and I might be weird, but we look out for the whole, the entirety. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going to say, hey, look, Animal, here's the deal. I respect this company, my company. Here's the situation. I can't pay you as much. Here's where I think the pluses and the minuses are. I want you to make the best decision for you. And you want to know something? I just got a referral. I just added to my referral network in an exponential way.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And
but
I'm not
come?
Going to backfill you in 6 months when you get a better offer again. Like, you
yeah.
have to think about the long game, too. It's not about the immediate, like, oh, I'm going to fill this role today. I got to fill
what,
this role
threat?
Long term.
Hold on a second, Amy. That sounds like a threat. Mm-hmm. Are you saying, look, but if you take this other offer, I don't want you ever speaking to me again. Do you say
no,
that what you're
no.
telling
me? No. I'm saying if I convince someone to take an offer today that's not the best offer, I'm screwing myself because they're going to bounce
uh-huh.
in 6 months, and then I'm going to
yeah.
have to do it all over again.
Okay.
And the other
hold
side
on
of that
– go ahead. Hold on, Alan. If you, if Amir Borman and Amy Miller and Alan Fleur are all so straightforward and you know, it's not even a matter of being altruistic. They're just, you know, they're very transparent and honest. How
yeah.
come recruiters have such a bad reputation? Everybody says they don't care about anything except numbers.
Because 80% of them lie because they want to
yeah.
get to the finish line. And they don't care about anything else. And I'm even going to say it's higher. It's probably like 90%. And it's and the 5 to 10% are on this frickin' call.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, well, and frankly, we don't all walk the talk.
Yeah.
That's just the truth. I mean, a lot of us spout a bunch of shit on Facebook or Twitter or wherever, and we make it sound like we're so smart, we know what we're doing. But when you're actually in the trenches, actually doing it, I guarantee half of them are full of shit.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you bring up the counteroffer issue, Amy?
So what? Why are you? It starts at the very first phone call. Why are you talking to me? Why are we having this conversation? Why are we talking about a new job? Okay. What's missing in your current world? What do you want in your next world? So it starts there. Okay. So what happens? You go through this process, and your company comes back and say, "Hey, we've got a great new project for you," or "Hey, you're getting a big fat raise." How does that impact your decision? So get them thinking about the possibility of this happening. And so at every touch point, you're kind of reminding them, okay, so we talked about this. You said you were looking for that. It's just a constant kind of reseeding of the conversations you've been planting all along. Don't wait till the last conversation to bring it up. You got to be talking about it the whole time.
Hold on. So you're saying to the person,
yes.
if you, you know, first of all, if you call a passive candidate, you can't say, why are you talking to me? Because you called me, that's why. But you say, what?
Yeah,
what?
But
what
once
can
you get them interested? Why did you take my call? What could I possibly offer you that would be worth continuing the discussion? What's missing for you in your current role that you'd like to see in a future role?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they may answer the phone because they're nice or curious or whatever, but at some point, there's some emotional currency that they're getting. There's a payoff the candidate is experiencing that makes them continue the discussion.
Okay, and so then when the potential candidate or the, let's call him a candidate, mm-hmm. says, okay, Amy, you know, I'm interested in this X,
yep.
and I'm not getting it right now. So will you say,
yeah.
look, I'd like to move you forward, but if your company comes back to you and offers you X, are you going to say I'm not interested in making a move anymore? Is that how you put it? Is that what you do?
So I'll say, okay, here's what I can offer you. Hopefully it's something that resonates. Hopefully it let's just pretend it matches this mythical person's wish list. And so I say, hey, we can, it's always about selling the next conversation. Like I tell candidates this, you cannot turn down an offer that you do not have. You could say no to me now, but what are you saying no to? You're saying no to a conversation. Now,
uh-huh.
if we get through the conversation and we get to the next conversation, then we get to the interview and we get to the offer, like at every touch point, you have an opportunity to back out or say no. But the reality is you're turning down something that you don't actually have in your hand. So
uh-huh.
let's first of all get to that point. And then secondly, at every touch point, how is it going to feel if you get a counter? How is it going to feel if this other company comes through? Let me tell you something that I think a lot of other recruiters that I compete with do wrong. We try to bully people into yeses.
Uh-huh.
I have actually seen emails from my competitors that my candidates have shared with me that say, if you respond to this email, that means that you're accepting this offer and no, you know, I mean, it's very actually shitty. It's mean and it's bossy. And I've actually been like, hey, you know what? I mean, you got to do what's right for you. And if this company is the right place for you, that's cool. But I'm kind of curious, what do you think the culture is like if this is how they're treating you during the courting process? Like, this is the time we're supposed to be kissing your ass and, like, making you love us. And if this is the attitude you're getting, I'm a little worried what happens when you join and you're a full-timer and you're in.
Okay, but your recruiters, hold on, you're assuming there that the recruiters who are ruthless are reflecting the rest of the culture of the company. We also always hear that every department. No, they're not. Every department in a company has a separate culture. That's what I've read in a zillion articles.
Well, let me tell you, the recruiters better get on board with whatever culture they're representing.
Yeah.
They better be able to speak to it because we're the front line. Whether we want to be or not, we're the image, the picture, the understanding of what I can expect moving forward with this company. Even if it's subconscious, even if the candidate's not specifically calling that out, I promise you how someone interacts with me is how they expect to be treated or what they think is going to happen when they get to my company. I promise you.
You're a unique person, okay? I don't believe that these hiring managers you're working with, I don't believe that you are necessarily the same as them. They sound like often not the same kind of people at all, quite frankly. Okay? Hold on. I want to go to Alan. He's been yesing. He's actively yesing everything Amy says. Yup, yup, Okay, Alan, do you want to say something?
She's preaching. What's the big confusion here? Here's the other thing about when you coach people through and they don't accept your offer. Statistically speaking, every now and then, the person takes the other job. I congratulate them. I send them a freaking congratulation card. And guess what? Maybe about, I don't know what, 10% of the time, unfortunately, that ends up being not what they expected. And you've given them the ability to come back to you. And I had this happen 3 months ago, very hard position. And we made her an offer 2 years ago, and she took another position, and she was doing okay. We went at her again a couple of months ago. We made her an offer. She was going to turn us down, and she verbally accepted another offer, and I said, that's great, no problem. We talked it all through, and then a week later, through my network, I heard she's really not sure, and all I did was send her an email and said, hey, I just wanted to say hi. I hope you're onboarding and everything is going well, da-da-da, and she emailed me back and go, can we talk? She's not working here. Happy
you
as hell.
You gotta play the long game sometimes. Like, it's just because it's a no today, and we do this all the time when candidates tell us no, or prospects. I should not say candidates, but a lead, a prospect, whatever. They don't want to take our call. They don't want to answer our email, whatever. At some point, you gotta stop harassing people. I'm not saying you should chase somebody to the ends of the earth, but just because it's a no today doesn't mean 6 months from now it's not gonna be a good fit. Doesn't mean a different company. If I change companies again, it doesn't mean that person won't be better for my next company that I recruit for. You know, I mean, I have people I talk to at Microsoft that weren't fits for Microsoft. Maybe they belong here where I am now. So, you know, it's all about just building a good relationship and a reputation as somebody who is not an asshole, honestly. Like, if recruiters just stopped acting like jerks, do you know how much easier our jobs would get? It's crazy.
Well, actually, it's good for you. No, it's good for you. I mean, that they act like jerks, so you stand out. Does anybody else want to comment?
Michael
T. Cox, anybody else before I move on? Anybody? No? Okay. Amy, do you want to do the ad for Hire Tool? You don't have to.
I love Hire Tool. You know I'm a fan. I did a side-by-side comparison of Hire Tool versus LinkedIn. I only had one duplicate, and the LinkedIn recruiter results were terrible, and the Hire Tool results were fantastic. Like, I actually ended up with 19 very well calibrated, complete contact information, history, all kinds of good stuff. I packaged up for my hiring manager and said, hey, what do you think of these 19 people? And he was in love. So Hire Tool is amazing. The AI sourcing tool is the best thing I've ever played with. Check it out.
HireTool.com. And they've got a free extension, Chrome extension that you can download for giving you contact information. I think that's all I need to say on that one. Thank you. Okay.
Of course.
I'll give you coffee if I ever meet you. Okay. how often? Okay. Let me see. Okay. Okay. How often do – well, this is kind of we can pass on this, but I'll tell you what the question was in case you think it's worthwhile. How often do candidates say one thing and do another, like accept an offer from you and then accept another offer from somebody else, or say, you know, I'm not – Amy, I'm not going to accept that counteroffer, and then they do?
You know, when we're getting into the offer stage, it's not very often. Usually at that point, we're pretty locked. I will tell you probably a good 10%, maybe. That might be a little high. Maybe 8% will commit to an interview and then back out. So I see more drop-offs there. And then obviously the further up, you know, kind of the start of the funnel you get, the bigger your drop-offs are. So,
okay, well, what do you
yeah,
do when they do – they, what do they do? That's an interesting question. They agree to an interview, then they back off. What do you call them up and say, you think I'm going to bite you? I mean, you know –
No, I just say, you know, again, you're turning down something you don't have yet. This is not an offer you're rejecting.
Uh-huh.
This is a conversation.
Uh-huh.
So what's changed for you that this conversation no longer makes sense? And with one – this happened actually to a colleague of mine. I think it's relevant, so I'll share. This happened to a colleague of mine recently where the person said, well, I did the drive. You know, I made this commute from my house. It's in the Bay Area, and it's terrible, and there's no way I could take this job. So my colleague, who's a brilliant recruiter, said, okay, well, let's talk through this. Would you – you know, for the right money, for the right package, would you move? Would you be able to move closer? And he said, well, yeah, you know, I mean, if it was like if money wasn't an option, you know, an object, yeah, I could, and that would make all the difference. Well, the thing is, our compensation is so much higher than what he's currently making that assuming everything goes well, he goes through the process and gets an offer, we would be able to create a scenario for him and his family where he could move closer and it eliminates the commute issue.
Okay,
so
but that sounds like that's a rare issue, okay? So how often if somebody –
But you're missing the point. The point is, don't just accept, oh, I'm not going to do this. Ask
right.
why. Is it a problem we can solve? Is it something that's easily addressed? Is there some other factor that's keeping you from it? You're not going to win them all, but usually just probing questions and a conversation will solve probably half of these.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. You got to ask.
Hey, look, Alan,
yeah,
if you're going to talk, pick up the phone.
I said, yeah, you got to ask the question. I did a chance. I did a vice chancellor for a university, and the pay was crappy. And the candidate said, yeah, it's and the housing is so expensive and everything else. And I went back to the client and I said, do you guys have housing? He's like, no. I said, I'm thinking that's BS. So I went and tracked down the housing department on the university campus, and they go, yeah, we could give Animal a house. He meets the criteria. I went back, and I said, here's the deal. Here's what we can do. And Animal's like, well, geez, well, I don't need to worry about paying for a mortgage. Let's do
Makes
this.
All the difference. So it's having
the So the hiring manager didn't even know what the company or the institution was willing to offer. These are odd stories, okay?
So many times people do not understand everything the company has to offer. We have to track it down, but we usually have a lot of that knowledge, be it compensation, bonuses, signing, relocation, even the way relocation is done, additional
mm-hmm.
training, other things, a formal mentorship program, whatever.
Yep.
Okay, my
yep.
impression is, here's, hold on, Amy, this is what I see happening. They commit to an interview. They back out, and what they're afraid that, you know, you or Alan, who are, you know, quite forceful, I'll say, you've got personalities, they're afraid that you're going to be angry at them at the phone. They won't even want to talk with you on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
You don't find
mm-hmm.
that happens?
I understand what you're saying, and I think other recruiters maybe have that risk. I can't imagine a candidate being afraid of me. I'm not scary at all.
And what about Alan? Does he sound scary to you? Does Alan sound
no,
scary?
No, not at all.
I had this happen 2 weeks ago.
Really professional.
Oh, okay.
Which
okay.
I also don't sound. But
I find him a bit scary. Okay, so
not at all. He's just there.
But to your point, Animal, I had this happen
uh-huh.
exactly 2 weeks ago. I reached out to somebody who I figured knew a lot of people here. And he got back to me and said, I'd love to talk, Alan, but I'm real nervous because he said, because I was an asshole at this other company where we all worked. I think I've grown up. I spoke to him. Everybody here said, you know what? People grow up. Technically, he was smart as hell. We made him an offer. And then he had to call me and back out of the offer because his wife's mother is deathly ill and he has to move out of state. And he goes, Alan, I'm really sorry. I got this situation. I'm like, look, it happens. I'm sorry to hear
about
it.
Okay, yeah, he had a good excuse. I got to say.
No, but the point is, we got him an
uh-huh.
offer, though. And he came at us, when I reached out to him, he said, I'd love to, but I'm scared you guys, those guys aren't going to like me from the past. And I said, look, worst case, talk with them on the phone. And if it works out and they offer to meet you in person, go do it because they will have already made the decision.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not scary. I'm a little impatient now and then. I'll hold up a mirror and say,
uh-huh.
I call BS, but
uh-huh.
so be it.
Okay.
Hey, Animal, I'm sorry. I got to jump. I got to do an interview. But, hey,
okay,
great
thanks.
Show
thanks,
so far.
Thanks. I enjoyed talking to you.
I'll try to carry the show without you, Alan. Wish me luck.
Yeah, without any help, yeah.
Amy, you do the ads, Amy. He could use some change-up on the ads. It's really cool. Bye, all.
Bye. Okay. Do jobs you're working on ever get frozen? So you've put a lot of work into something. All of a sudden, from somewhere high up in the company, there's a freeze on that job. And you got to call all the candidates and say, no, it's not happening.
I've had I've had offers go internal that basically eliminates, like, oh, we had a transfer out of nowhere. I mean, that happens pretty often. So not a freeze, but definitely where for whatever
hold on.
Reason.
I mean, so they, hold on. So there's internal candidates, and you don't know about them when you start the search?
Correct. Because sometimes so we start the search, and first question is always, you know, what's the appetite for internal versus external? Do you have a current pipeline? Is there anyone you're excited about? Like, we have these conversations. So, yes, we know, but you only know what the manager's telling you, okay? I mean, and that conversation – starting the search week one, there isn't an internal pipeline or no one's interested or I've been tapping my network and I'm not getting any bites. Week two, a couple nibbles. Nobody's really interested. Nobody I'm interested in. Keep the external pipeline coming. Week three, week four, we're constantly kind of checking in and asking. But these things come up out of nowhere sometimes. They just do. Oh, hey, this amazing person showed up and, you know, I talked to him yesterday and we're going to move forward. Oh, okay, great. I mean, that's not my fault because I didn't know 3 weeks ago.
What do you say to your existing candidates? If you've got some good candidates, what do you say?
Yeah, so here's the thing. And this, again, this is part of the discussion from day one. Okay, we're targeting a specific role. You have spoken with this hiring manager. We're bringing you to interview for this specific team. Just so you know, sometimes things change. Sometimes headcount moves. Sometimes we have internal transfers. Are you interested in hearing about related roles if and when we need to have that conversation? Nothing should ever be a surprise. I always prep all of my candidates when they get to interview stage that, look, things can change. We might get signaled during your interview that says, hey, you're a way better fit for a different kind of position. Are you okay with that? Do you want to hear about it? Most of the time, it's yes. Why would I not want to hear about something? So it's just how you're positioning it and making sure that everybody knows what's going on and all of the potential, you know, moves and dives and shifts that could happen.
Okay. I'm going to do an ad for PC Recruiter, and I'm going to quote, he's not here, Jeremy Sizemore. He's been a guest, but not for a long time. But he wrote this on Facebook, so I feel I have the right to repeat it. He says, I've been on PC Recruiter for over 15 years. Just I'll give him a plug, Sizemore, Sizemore, and he's the SAP recruiter. I mean, that's his niche, and he's very good. He says, why have I been on PC Recruiter for over 15 years? Because there's no reason to change. They constantly improve the product. They have great customer service. It's well-priced and has all the functionality I want. I love the mobile app. I use it all the time. I like the ease with which I can import a LinkedIn profile or a Zoom info profile just by clicking the import button. In PC Recruiter, you can customize reports however you like. For team meetings, PC Recruiter is a staple in our industry, and about half of the Pinnacle Society, those are the big billers, is running PC Recruiter. So check them out at PCRecruiter.com. www.animalinc.net. That guy, Chris, who wrote me from Japan, he knows about PC Recruiter because he heard it on this show. Okay, Amy, is there anything that has come up that you've learned in the last year? You mentioned that you've been a recruiter 20 years. Have you learned anything new? What?
Oh, my God. Have I learned anything new? I have learned how cutthroat other big tech recruiters can be. I don't think
what
I was as aware of that. I mentioned earlier about these horrible emails, like, if you respond to this email, that means you're accepting this offer on pain of death if you decline or whatever bullshit they're adding. That's been really interesting. I don't think I experienced that as much at Microsoft for whatever reason, but I'm definitely seeing it more and more, I'd say, in the last year. And it's interesting. I'm really grateful, more so than I've ever been, that I started an agency and worked for really small companies. I think there's a certain, not to minimize the expertise or abilities of people who've grown up in big tech companies, but I think there's a certain hustle that if your first job out of college was a recruiter at Microsoft, for example, you're missing out on some really, really key training. So I've learned to really appreciate my background more than I did before. I used to have imposter syndrome really bad. Like, oh man, I come from like trucking and agency and paper applications. What am I doing here? And over the last year, I've definitely come to appreciate what I've been through.
No, you've become the booth. I'm not an imposter. I'm fantastic. That's what we say when you look in the mirror.
There you go. Exactly. I'm
fantastic.
I
love
I'm
you.
Fantastic.
You look in that mirror and say, I love you. Okay.
Good enough and smart enough and doggone it, animal likes me.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Do you coach candidates? Sorry. Do you coach candidates for interviews? How thoroughly do you coach them? Because I'll remember Tyron Giuliani. He would coach people for like Amazon. He would spend hours with them, if I remember correctly, making sure they knew what they were should be prepared to do. And what about you?
Yeah, definitely. I don't spend hours, but I will spend as much time as the candidate's willing to devote. So I have, first of all, the first initial phone call is, hey, here's what the interview is going to look like. Here's, you know, the structure. You're going to see five people. These are the focus areas, whatever it is. I also have like two or three documents that I send. I send a video of, you know, what it's like, a technical interview at my company, what to expect. There's like basically if you printed it, it's probably two pages of just detail, like breaking down the interview process, breaking down the focus areas, what we're looking for.
Get a bit granular for me. What does that mean? Breaking it down to what? These are the questions they're going to ask you, or you better make sure you clean your fingernails.
Nope. So for example, people management, because I only hire managers. So people management is an important focus area. What we're looking for, your knowledge and expertise in growing and developing an engineer's career. What does that look like? How do you take care of your team? How are you dealing with high performers, low performers? You know, what's kind of the people management side of what you're doing? And be prepared to tell stories about that. It's okay to tell bad stories. You've made mistakes. I've made mistakes. It's okay to say, hey, this one time I really screwed up. Here's what I learned from it. Here's what I would do differently in the same situation next time. So things like that. I try to give them those kind of high-level anecdotal stuff that they might get in an interview and kind of help them, kind of like preparing for your show. What's your story? What's your war story? What did you accomplish? What did you learn? Those kinds of things.
Hey, Amy, it's Kathy Anderson.
Hi, Kathy.
Are you able to listen in to the, like, panel interviews?
No, so our interviews are all, it's a series of one-on-ones, so they see five people, they're 45 minutes with one person, and then to the next, et cetera. So no, I don't get to sit in on those, but the way we record feedback is very, very thorough and lengthy, so I do, like, follow along with the feedback and, you know, try to catch any flags for next time. I mean, our interviewers are pretty well-trained and calibrated, but no, unfortunately, I haven't got to sit in.
Yeah, because I've had that, we did do that, and the panel would be saying, oh, we love your candidate. We're going to move forward with him and her. And then toward the end of it, they're out of the picture. And I'm like, what the hell happened?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's one thing I'll say about our process is it's, you know, pretty daunting. People who know where I work probably know what I mean, but it is really, like, based in actual feedback, specific, you know, there's very specific kind of guidelines and things that we have to
mm-hmm.
get, we have to be able to speak to.
Okay, I got
ability.
A question. Hold on, I have a question about the interviews. How much does your prepping actually help, or do these candidates, do they really know how to handle themselves anyway?
I'd like to think it helps. I've been told that it helps. Candidates have told me it helps. Look, this is the way I look at an interview, and I say this to my candidates, okay? It's like prepping for the SATs. Nobody's saying you're not good at math. You're probably great at math. You've been doing math very well for many years, but now you have to prove that you can do math, and you have to do it answering specific questions within a specific time frame. Not everybody is good at taking tests, so please practice. Read this stuff I'm sending you. Do some mock interviews with your friends. I can help you find, you know, different ways to get coaching, things like that, if that's helpful for you. But you have to pass the test. So again, it's not that you're not good at math. You have to prove you're good at math in a test. That's what an interview is. And so that alone, I think, helps reset because it's very personal, right? If I go to an interview and I'm putting forward what I think is my best self and the team says, no, you're no good, we're not hiring you, you're insulting me. Are you saying I'm not a good recruiter? Are you saying I can't do this job? Because guess what? I'm doing it very successfully somewhere else. So by pivoting it in your mind and thinking, okay, this is a format which I may or may not be giving the right information, makes it a little easier to swallow.
You don't test well? I mean, oh, my God, I bombed on my SATs, but my grades rocked. So how do you handle that?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a fair question, and thankfully no one's asked me that yet. but, you know, I think it's in the preparation. But again, you know, it's probably a slightly flawed analogy, honestly. It seems to resonate with engineers, thankfully. But
probably. You're right. That's the audience for it. I was more humanities. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, I know. It would probably not work for me
okay.
as well.
Okay, next question I'm going to ask. Hold on before I forget, since you mentioned it. Let's say they do strike out. I want to know how you turn off your candidates. But first, I'm going to do an ad for our good friends at Honeit, H-O-N-E-I-T. Honeit.com is phone interview technology. It records your interviews and turns the key questions and answers into separate audio clips that you could send to hiring managers to let them hear the motivation, the personality, and the enthusiasm that you as a recruiter just heard. When you can share a story with a hiring manager in the candidate's own voice, man, that delivers a ton of information that you just can't get from a resume or a dry report. So if you want to get a hiring manager excited about a great candidate, share some of the sizzle with Honeit, H-O-N-E-I-T, and it turns everything, the whole conversation, into a searchable transcript as well. H-O-N-E-I-T.com. Okay, back to our good friend Amy Miller, ALA recruiter. Go ahead.
That's me. So rejecting a candidate post-interview, that's the question?
Yeah.
Okay. So again, sounding like a broken record here, but it goes back to the initial prep and discussion. I'm very clear with my candidates when we get to an interview stage. Hey, congratulations. We're moving to an interview. This is exciting. Let's take a moment to celebrate. Okay, now here's the reality. There's a couple of outcomes that might happen here. One, just not a fit. For whatever reason, don't pass the interview. I have to tell you, you're not moving forward. That's one thing that could happen. Two, could be a great overall fit, not right for the exact role. We can figure out, do we want to look at other teams? Do we want to look at other positions or not? You get to choose. Or in a perfect world, it's a great fit. Everybody likes you. You like everybody. We start talking about an offer. Those are the three things that could potentially happen. I also tell them, I work for a big giant corporation. I'm not allowed to give specific feedback. However, I do believe in giving you something. So I will do my best to pull any high-level trends, anything that I think might be helpful to you, anything that I think would help you understand the decision and or decide if you wanted to try again in the future, okay? And most of the time, 99% easily, they're like, okay, that's fair. And so when we get to that conversation and I have to reject, it's simply, look, we knew this was a possibility. Unfortunately, we're not able to move forward. I can't share feedback with you, but I can tell you, you showed up really well in leadership. That was strong. We saw some good signal there. Unfortunately, the technical bar, which as you know is super high, we didn't quite see the expertise and the experience in system design and coding that we needed to see. That's it. And they thank me and they're on their way and we talk
again.
Hold
on a second. And nobody ever says, Amy, this is my specialty. I am really good at this. I don't agree that this is my weakness. Someone's making a mistake there.
I've had that in almost a year here, one time.
And what did you do?
And I said, I understand you feel that way. I said, and you and I can agree that maybe they didn't see what we wanted them to see, but here's the reality of where we are. So I appreciate what you're saying. I don't disagree with you. I mean, it's not for me to judge whether you can or can't do this job, but the interview process has given us a signal that says this is not enough to move forward.
Okay,
so,
but I want to go back and I want to talk to the specific. Amy, I understand you're not a tech person. I want to talk to the tech person. I want a second shot at this. Something went wrong here. I'm very interested. What would you say?
Great. So we're going to take another run at this in 6 to 12 months. So let's talk about what that looks like. Because here's the reality.
I'm not satisfied with that.
Then I'm sorry you're not satisfied. And I look forward to your negative comments and my customer service score. I mean, at some point, you just have to be like, hey, I know you're mad. And that's, you know, you can unleash your feedback on me. I will take it, but I can't change the outcome. So if you want to share feedback with me about anything that you're unhappy about or any part of the process that you think we might have done wrong, I will gladly take that feedback. But at this point, there is no opportunity to move forward today.
Uh-huh. Would you ever tell someone, look, by being so hard-headed about this, you're just, you know, ruining any potential you've got for a future consideration? Would you actually say that?
I wouldn't say it in those words. But I would definitely say, you know, it's never an easy message to receive, and I understand that. I would ask, you know, if you want to continue the conversation, I think maybe take a little time and, you know, kind of process what we've just talked about. Maybe we should talk next week. What do you think about that? Because a lot of times again, that is so rare. It hardly ever happens, and it may be because I'm working with managers who have to reject people all the time too. Like, these guys are hiring as well. So they kind of get it from that side of the desk as well. But, you know, a lot of times they're just reacting out of frustration. They don't even mean what they're saying in the moment. They're just pissed off. And so the best thing that I can do is just listen, acknowledge, and redirect. Not going to get into a pissing contest with anybody. That's not a good look for me or my company.
And redirect means put them off, say, oh, we'll talk about it later on.
You want to talk in a week? Do you want to revisit in 6 months? You know, redirect.
Okay,
is
so
like,
in a week, just let me beat this to death. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll talk to you in a week. He calls you back in a week. Okay.
They never call
you
back.
You're just guessing that he or she will cool off in a week and won't want to pursue it. But what if they do call you back in a week?
I mean, if they did, I would just. Okay, so how are you feeling about things now? Knowing, again, that our options are, you know, try again in a year or whatever. Like, the options haven't changed. Do you feel differently now? Do you still have questions?
I don't mean to interrupt, Kathy.
Go ahead. We want to hear from you.
No, I was just wondering if you – I know that it's so sensitive in this era on what you can share and not share.
Yeah.
But would you say, okay, if I come back to you in 6 months to a year, maybe you could focus on A, B, C and your skills? Make you a better fit.
With my particular organization, the kinds of roles I'm recruiting for, so again, the little, you know, 0.0001% of this company that I'm responsible for, It generally is around technical ability. It almost always is.
Can you tell them to concentrate, like learn this piece of it,
sure,
or you're missing?
For sure.
Okay, because you were saying you couldn't.
No, but Kathy, she gave us an example of her turndown, and she did specify where the person was weak technically. She did give us an example of it.
Right? Because I don't want it to be able to, like, oh, that's got to be, oh, it was this specific queen, oh, it was that guy that interviewed me, and oh, he's a jerk. I never want to open the door for that. That would be a violation, and I don't want to get fired. But again, for most of my candidates, because they're not coding, they're not always, you know, hands-on, those kinds of things, a lot of times it is really that technical expertise. So I will say, hey, listen, maybe crack, you know, the Gail Lachman McDowell book, you know, Cracking the Coding Interview, spend some time in that, practice those exercises, brush up on, you know, whatever language it is you said you're an expert in, you know, things like that. Like I had one not too long ago that it was around leadership. And I'm like, look, the reality is you're a newer manager. You know that. We both are looking at your resume. We know where you're at in your career. If you had maybe another year under your belt and you had a little bit more experience with some of these more challenging people management scenarios, I think that might have had a different outcome. So are you comfortable coming back in 6 months or a year? And he was very grateful and very, very receptive to that. So, you know, it's what you can share that is a kind of telling on your people and kind of talking about things you're not supposed to talk about, but at the same time being helpful. Because if I don't know,
you endorse that book. You endorse that book, Cracking the Code.
I do.
Some people aren't that familiar with it.
So here, and I included in my interview prep as well. I send them a link to her website. You know, hey, if you don't already have this book or if you haven't heard of it, might be worth checking out. I'm not telling you to buy it, but I'm just saying might be something to research. And here's why. I actually was told by two different leaders to apparently there are, and I've never cracked the book myself, but apparently there are exercises in the back of the book. And the guidance was, do those exercises on paper, write them out while you're listening to news radio or some kind of noise in the background. So what it does, for some reason, according to my engineering leaders, this kind of mimics the interview situation, like the talking, the, you know, writing on a whiteboard or coding or whatever, like just the way that you approach that solution in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of somehow trains your brain for an interview.
Okay, give the name of the book again for people who might not be familiar with it.
Yeah, it's Cracking the Coding Interview, and the author is Gail Lachman McDowell, and it's spelled kind of weird. So I'll tweet it, and I'll
tag you in. No, it's okay. Let them figure it out. They've got the title.
Right,
if they don't know how to use the internet, you know, I don't care about them.
But
I have another question. I have another question before we're finished, okay? Because we're almost done.
Do it.
We're almost done. Okay. So you've got a hiring manager, right,
mm-hmm.
who makes a demand for a certain kind of degree. I guess in your field it would be computer science, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you
mm-hmm.
say, look, what if they don't have the exact degree you're looking for,
mm-hmm.
but the kind of work they're doing now indicates that they're qualified to
mm-hmm.
come and work with us? The hiring manager, no, I want a degree. Okay. What are you going to do?
You're unnecessarily limiting your candidate pool. It is my job to make sure that you see people who can do the job successfully. Therefore, I'm going to send you people that may not have the exact pedigree. And we will talk about those people when you see them.
Really? Okay. And so if this how is a hiring manager going to take that coming from you?
Well, they can appreciate it or they can be mad about it. I don't really care. But that's what I'm going to do.
What if they are mad about it? That's the thing. What if they're mad about it? What if it turns into a drama?
Then they're the ones that are going to be it's not going to – look, my boss will back me up. My hiring manager's boss should be backing me up. If they don't, I'll go to the next one. And I'll go to the next one. And I'll go to the next one. Because sometimes good consulting – looks like bad customer service. I am not here to take your order and bring you back a cheeseburger with no lettuce. I am here to make you aware of the people who are available and interested and qualified for this job.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When you interviewed for your last job, did they raise an issue like this and how you would handle it? Did you tell them that this is what I'm like? I'm tough.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I was very much myself in my interview because I really wasn't interested. I was just like, yeah, I had a bad day at work. I'll go interview at this other place. You know, I loved my job.
Uh-huh.
I had no intention of leaving. So yeah, I was very like, hey, this is me, you know, warts and all, and they still wanted to hire me.
Yeah, but isn't there a danger? Isn't there a danger when you go in like that, you know, and you say, this is what I'm like, I'm going to be in this person's
mm-hmm.
face. Oh yeah, Amy. Oh, we love that. Oh yeah, we're on board with you. Once you get in there, no one's backing you up. That's quite possible, isn't it? How did you assure yourself?
Possible. Yeah, I think it's possible. I definitely, in my current role, I definitely did my homework. I knew of my manager before I joined his team, and I was very specific. Like, I will join this person's team. I will not consider any other roles. I'm not interested in any other teams. I will join this person's team. If this person does not have an opening or does not want to hire me, I will gladly stay where I'm at. But I believed in my manager. And, you know, and look, I'm fortunate I work for him today. I realize that could change at any time. But that was basically my criteria coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And so far it's working out.
Oh, okay. Okay. So what haven't we talked about that you'd like to talk about? You still baking?
I mean,
I don't see your post. You don't bake it. You don't post it.
I don't. I've taken a break.
Uh-huh.
It was, you know, starting a new job. It was a lot. So maybe I'll pick
yeah.
it back up. I miss it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Anything else that I haven't raised that you think you'd like
to
talk about?
I don't know. Is there any questions from the peanut gallery? We have 4 minutes.
They're very quiet. You know, Jerry's not here to be mopey.
I don't know what that means. Maybe they love it or maybe they hate it. But
no,
I think
it's great. I think it's really good. Okay. A hiring manager had an intake session scheduled with a recruiter, right?
Yeah.
So the recruiter gets on the line
mm-hmm.
and waits 20 minutes. The hiring manager doesn't show up. Right? So he hangs up. He says, I'm not waiting for
yeah.
this hiring manager.
Yeah.
So 10 minutes later, the hiring manager calls back and is pissed off because this guy wasn't there waiting for him. He
mm-hmm.
said, I had an hour booked with you. You should have
mm-hmm.
been waiting for me for that
mm-hmm.
whole hour.
Mm-mm.
What
mm-mm.
would you say?
Absolutely
and he says,
not.
Look, I had to take
say...
a phone call just before our meeting. I couldn't make it to the meeting, and you should, but you know what? I booked
no.
an hour of your time.
No.
You owed it.
I would have made it 10 minutes. I would
yeah.
have immediately messaged the manager, you know, whether it's over a ping or IM or email or whatever, and I would have said, hey, something must have come up. Really sorry we weren't able to connect today. I'm still available until this time, or happy to reschedule. Let me know what you prefer. And then if the manager comes back and says, oh, hey, sorry, I had a call run over. We still have 30 minutes. Should we get on the call again? Great, no problem. But if you're going to come at me sideways and be rude, again, this is a partnership. I'm not going to abuse you. I'm not going to let you abuse me. So thankfully, I don't work with anyone who would ever act like that. But if someone did, I would immediately shut that shit down. And I would say, you know, I think we need to recalibrate on how we're going to work together. And then I would go to my boss. That's
mm-hmm.
what recruiting leaders are for. They're here to unplug and unblock and move things out of our way. Like, we shouldn't have to own that in its entirety. Like, there are reasons to have managers and times that we should bring them into things like this. But absolutely
uh-huh.
not. This is a partnership. I don't work
okay.
for my hiring manager.
Uh-huh. Do you think this is the last thing then? Would you think this would be a good thing to post on the wall in a recruiting office? I don't care who you are. I don't care what title you hold. I don't care how long you've been with this company. I will not tolerate being verbally abused by a frustrated hiring manager. You like that?
I might word it a little differently, but yes, everyone deserves
uh-huh.
respect.
Okay, well, you don't know where I got that, do you? Or maybe
I don't
maybe
know.
You do.
I don't
okay,
know.
Well,
where did you get that?
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Amy, Amy L., it's been so great. Alan Fleur contributed. Our good friend Kathy is on a good phone now. Kathy Maness calls herself Kathy Anderson, but she'll always be Kathy Maness to me. And the great Amy Miller, thank
the
you!
Recruiting
where's Jerry? Okay, Jerry's not here. Okay, Amy Miller, thank you! Just be patient with me. I closed the window before I turned off the show. Let's see if I can get back in here. Did it end? Okay, yeah, here we go. End episode. Thank you, everybody. Goodbye.